Welcome to the Kindling's Muse podcast.
Hi, this is Dick Staub with another in our Journeys series, conversations with thoughtful creatives and cultural influencers on their life, work, and personal journey. Today, we continue our conversation with Leif Enger.
Leif Enger is our guest. The book is Peace Like a River. It's published by Atlantic. You've heard some of the basic storyline. Some of the central characters, Jeremiah, we haven't talked about Davy that much, Reuben, the girl of his dreams, Bethany Orchard, Sweden, wonderful, wonderful young woman. Roxana is another woman that you're going to meet. We've talked about Rick Bass mentioning it's a book in which we cross into amazing territory, and it is truly amazing territory, and that is a book about family. It is a book about faith. It's about a young boy's struggle to continue believing and the challenges that are faced in real life. You've heard our author, Leif Enger, talk about his own son's struggle with asthma and how that played a role in the kind of the inspiration of this book and the desire for miracles for our kids. There's so much going for this book. And yet, you know, like you said, if you're just joining us, you didn't write this for the publisher. You wrote it for yourself and for your kids.
Yeah, I think that's why it turned out the way it did.
No, but what do you do next time now? Because now, next time around, you know, everybody's saying, Leif, you know, we're expecting another home run here, buddy. And now it's written for, you know, it's written for expectations.
Well, I'm deep into research for another novel.
Really?
And I really feel like it's a story that I would write whether or not it had a publisher waiting for it.
Mm-hmm.
And indeed, I don't have a contract waiting for it. This was a one-book deal, and that's the only kind I would be comfortable with because the very expectations you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
What I want is, and what I now have, is enough time mm-hmm. to write just another book that I want to write.
Now, you homeschool.
Yeah, we do.
Are you involved in the education of your kids?
I am. I take care of the grammar and the English papers and the various writing assignments that the kids have. My wife does everything else. She has a much better mind for math, science, all those practical things.
How did you guys decide to homeschool?
We decided to do it when our oldest was in second grade, and he was going to a very good school in Crosby, Minnesota, a very fine school district. But he was having so much asthma trouble at the time that he would come home almost unable to breathe. He would come home gasping.
Mm.
And we would oftentimes keep him home for a day or two, teach him ourselves, send him back. He would come back gasping again. He was missing school every week. My wife went to college to be a teacher, and she finally got fed up and said, I can do this. Doing it anyway.
Yeah.
So we pulled him out, and now it's been 5 years.
Started for health reasons.
Yes.
But then it becomes more than that, I guess.
It does become more than that. It's worked out very well. The wonderful thing about it is that your kids are free to pursue their passions, I believe, a little bit more than they would be in a public school setting.
Any of them looking like they're going to be writers?
It's hard to say.
Yeah.
It changes from week to week. Right now, our oldest is most interested in robotics.
Yeah.
He has one of those Lego systems where you can build robots
that
wander around the house and do things on their own. And the younger one is most interested in horses and cowboys, which is great, you know, for a 10-year-old.
The sunny sundown.
Yeah. Well, it's his idea, after all.
Talk a bit about your own kind of spiritual journey. I mean, you mentioned that you were exposed to charismatic stuff when you were younger.
Yeah.
You're Norwegian. What were you started out? What were you raised in?
Well, like a lot of Minnesota Norwegians, I grew up in the Lutheran Church. When I was 13 or 14, my family got involved in the charismatic movement, which led us, I guess, out of the Lutheran Church into a more non-denominational setting.
Was it in the conservative Norwegian Lutheran group, or
well, I don't know
the subset names, but
I couldn't really tell.
Okay,
it's been so long ago. I wasn't paying much attention. I was drawing cartoons.
Yeah, exactly. And so there you are now in the charismatic thing. How old were you when you got exposed to that?
13 or 14.
Was that scary to you?
Yeah, it was scary and it was exciting. It was kind of fun. It was something that you didn't know, at least I didn't know how seriously to take it. you know, you see some fairly strange things, and you're at a very impressionable age.
Yeah.
And it's that stage is very responsible for some of the stuff in this book. Hmm. But I didn't come out of it hating it and saying it's all fraudulent. I came out of it thinking there are flawed people here just like everywhere else. I guess for a little while, maybe I kind of reeled from it. Mm-hmm. And was glad to be away from it when mm-hmm. I went to college. Mm-hmm. But in terms of my own journey, I'm a believing Christian. And I don't think that it's necessarily the job of every believing Christian to be an evangelist. But I do think it's all our job to do the best we can do in whatever we're doing. Mm-hmm. I wanted to write the best novel I could, mm-hmm. not so that it would be necessarily an evangelical tool, but so that it would at least portray what I think of as Christianity in an accurate light. Spiritual journey.
You know, the thing that I really appreciated about what you just said, and anybody that listens to this show knows that this is one of my great frustrations, is that, and I talked to, I remember talking to Ron Hansen about this when he wrote Atticus, and you know, and he was working through his journey. He'd been raised a Catholic, but it hadn't really taken in his life. And then suddenly he came to a real crisis of faith and made another commitment mm-hmm. to follow Jesus. And he talked about not wanting to be referred to as a Christian writer, because he said, I think of Christian writers as the people that write the books that are in the leftover book bins that are selling for 10 cents, and they're not very well written. And when I look at the state of, as a matter of fact, there was a report in the New York Times this last week about how religious books are the best sellers now since 9/11, and they're since September 11th, but they're referring to books that aren't very well written, that aren't very deep, that are, you know, that are really catering to a subculture within the Christian tradition that has not taken the arts very seriously. And craftsmanship and doing well at what we do is so important. I mean, if we truly believe that God is infinitely creative, and that God, you know, at the end of each day of creation said, he looked at what he had made and said, it is good. We ought to be striving for that ourselves. And so it's almost, it's totally refreshing to me to read something that is well written without knowing anything about your spiritual journey and looking at it and saying, this is a good piece of writing. This is a person that is on some sort of journey. I don't know what it is, but it's a good one.
I think when you say Christian fiction or Christian writer, there is today a milquetoast connotation that was not always there.
Hmm, true. Flannery O'Connor, C.S. Lewis, a lot of great writers, Tolkien.
A lot of them. And if you go back further, you know, what is, if you say that a Christian novel is something that points up man's need for redemption, then you can go all the way back to Robert Louis Stevenson. You can go back to Defoe. You can go back to Dostoevsky. And they were all doing that. But we don't call them Christian writers. We call them classic writers.
They're classic writers. Well, that's got to be scary for you to hear me then refer to Leif Enger as a classic writer. Sitting at our studio today, we have the next Dostoevsky. But truly, folks, this is a book that you'll thoroughly enjoy at a number of levels. I highly recommend Peace Like a River. It's published by Atlantic, available at your local bookstore. The author is Leif Enger.
This concludes our conversation with Leif Enger. Thank you for listening to Journeys on the Kindling's Muse.